The 20th chapter of Revelation concludes and sets forth the final results of the age-long conflict between the Son of God and Satan, the enemy, who usurped the authority of God over Adam, and in Adam, he carried the whole human race away to his prison house of hell as his lawful captives, according to Isaiah 49:24. By law, Satan holds the power of death, according to Hebrews 2:14. And the only way the captives can be delivered was by paying the lawful ransom price. This price the Lord Jesus Christ paid, who was on your kinsman redeemer. He did it in his death on the cross, because God's honor, his character, and his authority were at stake. But Satan is a treacherous enemy, and he will not willingly surrender his captives. It is only then through the power and might of the mighty conqueror that the captives are freed from the power of sin and the authority of Satan. We have come now to the closing scene of the conflict between the sovereignty, authority, and power of Satan over man and the Lord Jesus Christ, which results in the final triumph of the Son of God. And we see God's power forever displayed and established. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians 15:20 and read the Apostle Paul's statement about the resurrection that throws light upon this closing scene in the 20th chapter of Revelation. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man is on order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down, get it now, all rule, all authority, and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In giving us the fact of the resurrection, the order of the resurrection, and the fact of the reign of Christ, he is setting forth Christ as the mighty conqueror. He says that Christ will reign until he puts down all enemies under his feet, when he annuls all rule, that is, chief principality or sovereignty, all authority, that is, governing ability, and all power, that is, might, are the exercise of government. He says here the last enemy to be annulled is death. That word destroyed means annulled. When the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, he annulled the sovereignty of Satan over man as the God of this world. And his resurrection guarantees that he shall return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to sit on David's throne for 1,000 years. At his coming, they that are Christ are raised to reign with him. Then cometh the end, which is the period of time at the close of the 1,000 years of righteous rule by the Lord Jesus Christ through his saints. During the kingdom age, Christ has demonstrated his sovereignty and his authority over man, and he has displayed the righteousness and equity he has wrought in his saints. At the close of the 1,000 years, God permits the enemy to challenge the rule of the Son of God and prove the depravity of the human race apart from God's restraining grace. God honors His Son, sends fire down from heaven to consume Satan's followers, and Christ cast Satan in the lake of fire, thus forever settling the question of the sovereignty of God before the universe and vindicating the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our last study, which set forth the vindication of the character of God, we saw that God has sworn by Himself that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Christ as Lord to the glory of the Father. In the case of the saints, this happens in this life where they receive mercy and are glorified with Christ that is coming. In the case of those who reject Christ and will not have Christ to rule over them, they will bow the knee and confess with their tongues at the great white throne where there is no mercy. May that soak into your hearts. At this time, we want to take up our study again at Revelation 20:12 and look at the great white throne judgment. In this light, Christ as the mighty conqueror destroying the last enemy, death, and God's power forever displayed. We want to see how Christ puts down or annuls all power, which means Satan's exercise of government and dominion over God's creation. Let's turn to Isaiah 49:24. Listen. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, referring to Satan and Christ. How does Satan exercise his government? In Ephesians 6, we are told he has a kingdom of principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, hosts of wicked spirits, all efficiently organized to put over his purpose. In Ephesians 2:2, we are told that he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, Satan's power lies in God's created beings and the sons of Adam, who he has captured, who are his loyal and obedient slaves. Satan holds them as captives of sin and captives of death, for the wages of sin is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Before Christ can destroy death, he had to destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. With Satan cast forever into the lake of fire, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit both join the Eternal Father and the great triune Godhead ascend the judgment throne, and immediately the sovereign God takes possession. Get it now? Immediately the sovereign God takes possession of every member of Satan's kingdom and brings them before the great tribunal set up to deal with all the war criminals who have been Satan's corroborators in his age-long conflict against the sovereignty of God. Following World War II, the death penalty was exacted upon all guilty of such crimes as being officers of concentration camps, crimes against humanity, exploiting slave labor, and so on. My friend, what an array of criminals will stand before the great white throne, all guilty of treason against the sovereignty of God, all guilty of Satan's guilt. How awful to think that you'll stand there because you refuse to have Christ as Lord and bow your knee to Him here. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is putting down all rebellion and everything that exalts itself against Christ in preparation to turning the kingdom over to the Father. Now, my friend, that's power. That's victory. That is God forever establishing His power and His government. Let's look at the scene before us. Christ cast Satan in the lake of fire. The earth and the heavens, which are contaminated with sin and Satan, dissolve and melt. They flee away, and sin is forever destroyed. The last enemy then to be destroyed is death. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. John said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There's no trumpet sound, because the sounding of the trumpet was for God's covenant people, whom he redeemed with his own precious blood, delivered by his resurrection power. There is simply the silent going forth of his eternal power into the sea, into the graves, into Hades. In other words, his power penetrates into the unseen repositories of the souls and bodies of the unbelieving, unholy dead. And we see a vast multitude suddenly stand before God. Every individual who's ever lived and died from the beginning of the history of the human race, except the beast and the false prophet, come forth in their unsaved condition and stand there in that great, unblessed congregation in all the condemnation of prisoners of the defeated foe. The scripture says small and great. This means kings and their subjects, nobles, peasants, rulers, servants, learned and ignorant, cultured and vulgar, civilized, barbarian and beggar. This means chief officers, petty officers in Satan's kingdom, big sinners, little sinners. My friend, you can't be neutral. If you're not for Christ, you're against him. The least member of Satan's kingdom has the same spirit of rebellion and self-will against God, and therefore he's guilty as a sympathizer, if nothing more. Where do you stand? Won't it be an awful day for you to stand there in that motley group? Remember, Christ is your Lord, whether you acknowledge him or not. You belong to Christ, whether you repent or not, and you'll bow to him now in mercy, or then at the great white throne under the same judgment as Satan. All stand alike before the great white throne judgment. What an awful day when the silent power of God in Christ Jesus, who has the keys of hell and death, unlocks the great prison house of Satan, and all the unbelievers, the unbelieving dead, stand before God. We do not read of any white robes, no spotless linen, no waving of palms in their hands, no playing upon hearts. Only naked sinners standing naked before the majesty of the enthroned Godhead, waiting their eternal doom. I've almost died as I've dictated those words. Think that my loved ones are there. Many of them. My friends, some of you. I want to read you two scriptures that describe in a limited way how God brings a sinner to judgment. First one was Daniel 12:2. And Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. The next scripture is found in John 5:28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, which class are you going to be in? Here in these two scriptures, we find three words that describes very graphically the resurrection of the unbeliever when God raises him from the dead. First, shame, everlasting contempt, and damnation. Let's notice something of the condition of these prisoners of war. The first word we take up is shame. This means that the unbeliever is raised to disgrace and dishonor. What shame it will be when all the followers of Satan stand exposed before the one they have ridiculed and held up to contempt. The next word is contempt, or everlasting contempt, means a state of being despised. One is conscious of the fact that he's mean, vile, worthless, wretched, disgraced, despised, and naked. This will not be for just a little while, because the Scripture says, everlasting contempt. The next word is damnation, which means condemnation. This means the sinner is exposed to the wrath of God and his everlasting punishment. That is, he's pronounced to be wrong, pronounced guilty, unfit for use, doomed to an everlasting, well and hell-deserved punishment. Why? Because you refuse to let the man Christ Jesus rule over you. Because that when you knew God, you glorified him not as God. Neither were you thankful, but you became vain in your own imagination. Your foolish heart was darkened. You professed yourself to be wise, but you became a fool. You changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image of the creature. You exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than God, knowing the judgment of God, that when you commit such things, you're worthy of death. You not only did them, but you had pleasure in others who also did them. In other words, you gave yourself over to Satan and his power. You believed his lie and swallowed his bait, hook, line, and sinker, and you held out stoutly against the sovereignty of the Lord God Almighty and went about your own way, satisfied with your own self-righteousness, and despised and rejected the Son of God and his warnings to flee from the wrath to come. Just like many, was warned of the coming hurricane, but they would not heed. They would, when they sent the deputies from house to warn them, they tell us that they would dodge the authorities from one room to the other, or a hiding place to the other, and they went down in the storm. You won't take heed, will you? My friends, I would that you would take heed. Oh, Lord God, is there any hope? I've been made to cry. Is there not just one individual who will hear and heed the call to repentance and turn to thee for salvation? I made the cry for the old prophet, Lord, who hath believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Will you continue to turn down the message of mercy and finally have to stand in your resurrected body as an unbeliever, captive of Satan, before the great white throne judgment, and be condemned and sentenced to death before the highest tribunal of the universe? Is that going to be your position? Now let's look at the judgment scene. It says, and the books were opened. These are the record books of heaven. Did it ever occur to you that heaven keeps a record of all the deeds of men? A record of their thoughts and motives and circumstances under which they act from birth to death? Did it never occur to you that the Lord God of heaven knows every move of his enemy Satan? Every strategy he plans and executes? Every wicked spirit, demon, and human being he moves to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on earth, his kingdom, his saints? Teeming multitudes of human beings have lived and died, of whom the world knows nothing. But, and may the Holy Spirit impress this eternal truth on your heart, the lives they lived, the deeds they wrought, the thoughts they indulged are all written in the books of heaven. There are two records kept of every individual's life. One is the record book of heaven, and the other one is the memory of the individual. The entire history of your being is traced on the walls of your memory and is fully recorded in the books of eternity. An unerring hand has recorded every item with every secret thing, and there's no way for you to escape the record of your life. Try to forget it, you can't. Try to drown your thoughts, if you please, but the record is sure. The writing is correct. And the record kept on the walls of your memory will correspond with the record kept in heaven as a carbon copy. And the books are open. That is why Christ said to the rich man in hell, "Son, remember." It is a known fact that no individual ever forgets anything that is recorded in the walls of memory. Let me ask you this pointed question. How will your case stand when those books are open? You may cry out and say, "I can't stand it." But the fact is, you will stand it. You have rejected the Son of God here to rule over you. And you have your record exposed there at the judgment bar of God. But I praise God that one day, my record was blotted out. And all my sins were blotted out forever and forever. I'll never have to face them. In connection with this thought, and the books are open, let me call your attention to God's holy word, which will also be opened, and every individual will be judged according to God's word. You'll be judged according to your works, and you'll be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to your works. I wish I could get this fact over to you. Every individual who turns down the truth of God's word will meet that word that he rejected at the judgment bar of God. That one definite scripture that he rejected the truth of God's word on will meet him there at the great white throne. The average individual knows more about the Bible than you think he does. He will not have it. Men will not believe God's word. They will not receive it. Therefore, when they come to the judgment bar of God, they will face the word they're rejected. Won't that be an awful time of reckoning when God spreads before you in that solemn, silent, awful hour his eternal word, and you have to face it, acknowledge it, and bow your knee to him and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. As an illustration, I call your attention to Khrushchev, the former leader of Russia, who tells us he spent his boyhood days in a Bible school. When he stands there and faces God's eternal word and acknowledges he's wrong and God's right, it'll be an awful hour. It'll be an awful hour with you too, my friend. Khrushchev learned the word of God. Castro knows the word of God. You know the word of God. And you won't have it. That's the trouble. And the record says another book was opened, which is the book of life. This is the roll book of heaven. Is your name written there? How can you find out whether your name's written there or not? Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. In verse 13, there's a peculiar statement. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. There will not be a single individual of the unbelieving dead who will not be brought to the great judgment hall. Hell is Hades, where the spirits of the dead are in prison. And the death, no doubt, refers to the grave. Every wicked soul will be united with his natural body in the last resurrection to appear in judgment, to give an account of the deeds done in the body. The statement, "and the sea gave up the dead which were in it," does not refer to the bodies of the dead buried at sea, but it refers, no doubt, to the bodies of the demon spirits, wherever they came from. Demon spirits are disembodied spirits. And the power of God will go into the depths of the sea, bring up the bodies of all of the demon spirits. Bring up the power of God will go into every nook and corner and bring out every individual. Go into the Tartarus and bring out the fallen angels that's chained in darkness there. And all will be brought before the judgment bar of God. And then when the sentence is passed, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. My friend, that's the second death. You see the power of God displayed over all of his enemies. The power of God. That body may rest there for millenniums. May have rested there for millions of years if it's the body of a disembodied spirit. But he'll call forth every individual and bring them forth to judgment. Won't that be an awful day? There won't be one single individual left in their graves, in the sea, in Hades, anywhere. He'll call them forth and bring them forth at a judgment. And every individual will have to bow their knee and acknowledge him as Lord. Acknowledge Christ as Lord. Then he says death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. When all of the prisoners of war are brought in and tried and the sentence is passed and they're cast into the lake of fire, and then he cast death and hell in there with it. And that's the last enemy. He's the great conqueror.